Well, before we begin today's looking at today's passage, we need to ask for God's help. So let's ask him for help now. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you that you've given us your word and you've spoken your truth in this way to us. But we know we need your spirit to help us understand it and apply it. And I really just pray, Father, that your truth is what will ring clear and shine brightly in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. It won't be me and my words, but your truth. How desperately we need it. Help us to understand what your word is saying. And we praise you for this time that you've given us to consider it. So please help us to focus and think about your word well. We do this because we love you so much. As we've been singing, you've done such great and wonderful work in our lives. So we want to continue to grow in you, to love you more, and just be in awe and wonder of our glorious and great God and what you've done for us in Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you who weren't with us last week, we've been looked at justification last week, looking at Christian words, what they mean, and therefore why they are important to us. It's important to know what words mean, so we know why they use them, why we say them, and why they're in the Bible. So just looking at last week, we'll do a brief recap. We looked at justification, and we learned about how this is the legal decision from God the judge. It is when God declares those who trust in Jesus not guilty before him. Now, how was all that possible? In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Nothing about justification is credited to human beings. It's all of God. So when we trust in Jesus, we trust that he bore our sin, the punishment for our sin, and died in our place on the cross. And when we trust in Jesus, we're therefore declared not guilty before God. So we have that little thing to remind ourselves about what justification means. Justified, never sinned. Now, this is important to remember because if you were here last week, you're thinking, oh, we've got the same passage again. Well, we see justification and righteousness are tied quite closely together. All throughout the Bible, this is true, and it's true in our passage this morning. So today we're looking at the word righteousness. This is a word that flows right throughout the Bible, all throughout the Bible. And it has a variety of nuanced meanings, different ways and different things and different emphasis. And we'll explore some of those meanings, but we'll focus on what righteousness means, especially for our salvation. So as we see in this passage, as I mentioned earlier, righteousness and justification are closely linked together. So what does righteousness mean? Well, thinking of justification is the declaration of being not guilty, but that doesn't mean that you have a positive relationship or a right relationship with the person who declared you not guilty. A criminal that's declared not guilty can still hate the person who declared them not guilty. Well, the basic definition of righteousness is the quality, the state, the characteristic of being in the right. So if you think of justification as that legal side, that legal declaration of not guilty, made by the judge, well, righteousness is that relational connection with the judge. Righteousness is right relationship with God. So what does this mean for our salvation? Well, when we trust in Jesus, we're not just pardoned for our sins. When we trust in Jesus and what he's done, we're then put into right relationship with God. And this happens because we're given a new quality, a new state, a new character of righteousness in Christ. So it's not just a declaration of not guilty, it is a welcome into the family. Is this making sense? Well, when I was first dating Maddie, I was really nervous about meeting her dad. Many of us will know James. He's quite a big character. He's got big hands and a firm handshake. And for all the fellas out there, when you're first meeting the father of the girl that you're dating, it can be quite intimidating, especially if they are close as well. Now, I'm a lot shorter than James, and he used to make me really nervous. I still remember my knees literally shaking as I was standing near him or approaching the front door. Now, the first couple of times I was allowed in their home, I wasn't sure where I stood with the family, even though there was some kind of pass mark because they were obviously letting me into their house. It was okay for me to be there. I wasn't sure if I was yet part of the family. But there was the first family Christmas that I was part of with this crew. I was feeling super nervous. I pulled out the front of their house, trying to take some deep breaths, and I got out of the car, and James was at the front with a few of the other guys. And everyone started heading towards the back because it was about to begin. And he came up to me, he put his arm around me and said, "Welcome to the family." Now, do you see the difference between just being justified and then righteousness? Faith in Christ is more than being declared not guilty. It's being brought into right relationship with God. So righteousness is inclusive of justification, but it's not just this distant declaration that makes us legally okay. It's a close position that makes us relationally okay. So why is righteousness important? Well, have a think about someone who has power, or someone who has influence, or someone who is famous. Bring that person to mind. Think of someone you admire or respect. Someone that you would like to get to know because of their power or their influence or fame. Now think about how you would want the nature of your relationship to be with them. Think about how important their opinion of you is to you. Think about how it matters what they think of you. What do you desire in that relationship? That you think well of each other? That you have a right relationship? So now think about someone whose opinion of you matters the most to you. Someone whose opinion of you matters the most to you. It may be your spouse, it might be your best friend, a parent, or employer. It could be anybody. But think again, what do you desire in that relationship? Do you want to be in right relationship, or do you want something standing in the way? Do you want them to think as well of you as you think of them? So why is righteousness important? Righteousness is important because God is so much greater than any human being. He is so much more powerful, so much more glorious, so much more amazing. He is much more awesome than anyone or anything in all creation. And God also knows us so much more intimately. He is so much more caring, more loving, more kind, more gracious, and more understanding than even our closest relationship. If there is someone whose opinion of us should matter the most to us, it should be God's. We should be concerned about having a right relationship with Him, and His opinion of us should really matter to us. So where are we at? Well, most humans, including even us in the church, don't really care or think about our relationship with God. We can often think that we are in right relationship with God because we go to church, we're involved with church, we're involved with a charity or something like that. And a great danger for many churchgoers is that they've learned to do the right things that make it look like they're right with God. And they think they're okay with God. Because of the good things they do or their involvement in church, they don't kill people or maybe they bring their own bags to do the shopping. This all makes us right with God in some sense in our mind. Remembering from last week in Romans chapter 1 verses 18 to 3 verse 20, it describes how sinful humanity is not right before God. Everyone is guilty of hurting Him and rejecting Him, and they can do nothing about it, and they don't want to do anything about it. Even those who have God's word, which instructs them in the right way of living, cannot fully obey it. There is no one righteous, not even one. And a quick side note to the relation of our standing before God. God in His grace puts restraints on society through His truth, on how sinful humans express their sinfulness. Although no one is right before God, although everyone is guilty and deserving of His wrath, not everyone is living out the sinful depravity they are capable of, which we praise God for. But we need to understand that in our natural state as human beings, there is no one in right relationship with God, not even one. And since we're not right with God, what are we going to do about it? Well, often when there's something wrong in the relationships that matter to us around us, we want to do something about it. We want to work hard to make it right. So we might buy some flowers. We arrange a catch-up, we float some compliments, or we really sit down and face the issue so that we can make our relationship right again. And we can try to do that with God. If we're feeling like our relationship with God isn't in a good spot, sometimes we just try to do more. We read the Bible more, we listen to more Christian music, we do more acts of kindness. We will sort out the problem. Now, although these things aren't bad things, They're motivated by wrong reasons. And again, we're told in the Bible that our righteous acts are like filthy rags. They're disgusting and they're sinfully motivated and acted upon. And what we're told in the Bible is that we can't do anything righteous to be right with God. In 3:20, in Romans 3 verse 20, we're told even if we know the right thing to do, we still cannot be declared righteous. Quite the opposite, in fact, because since we cannot perfectly do what is right, we actually learn about how sinful we are before God. We learn how much we are not right with God and how impossible it is to please Him. Now, as we explored last week, we are all seeking to justify our lives before God, even if we're not aware of it. But we learn from righteousness that we all need to be right with God. And so the problem for all of us is we cannot be in the right with God. We can't do the right thing to be right with God. So what hope do we have? In our Bibles, it tells us in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, and I invite you to read along. This is the hope that we have. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So what does righteousness have to do with God? Well, being righteous or righteousness is a characteristic or an attribute of God. In Psalm 11 verse 7, it tells us, for the Lord is righteous. When we think of God's attributes, we think of Him being holy, of loving, of Him being sovereign. And tied in with all that is the fact that He is righteous. God is right. And therefore, what He says is right and true will be right and true. Now, righteous or righteousness is also used to describe God's actions. We see this in Daniel chapter 9 verse 14, where it tells us that the Lord our God is righteous in all the deeds He has done. Now, since His character is always in the right, He can never be in the wrong. It is in His being to do right, and therefore He will always do what is right. With this, we can see a connection with justification. Since God is right, He will always do what is right, and therefore He will always do what is just. And this righteousness is also a quality given from God to humanity. Since righteousness is something that is of God, it's not something natural for us as human beings. It's something that must come from God to humans. So how has God revealed His righteousness? Well, if we read together in our passage today, Romans chapter 3 verses 21 to 24. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Firstly, in Romans chapter 3 verse 21, we see that this righteousness of God has been made known and was actually testified to in the Old Testament. And one example is in Jeremiah chapter 23 verses 5 to 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as a king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Secondly, we see in chapter 3, verse 22 of Romans, that this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus to all who believe. Now, as we saw earlier, since righteousness is a characteristic of God, it defines His actions. If humans are not righteous and cannot do anything about it, then God has to be the one who gives humans this righteousness. He is the only one who can deal with the situation. So if we consider what we're told in Jeremiah, and also if we cast our eyes back to Romans chapter 1 verse 17, we can consider a few things. The righteousness of God is revealed in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, and that gospel is about Jesus Christ. So the righteousness of God is given and received through faith in Jesus Christ. those who live by faith are righteous before God. And so we see a righteous God do righteous actions through Jesus Christ to make the unrighteous who believe in Jesus righteous. And this is the hope we all have in Christ. And this is the beauty and glory of righteousness, the majesty of righteousness, because it is all of God. As we thought about last week, again we think about it today, we could do nothing about this right relationship with God. But God has done it all for us in Jesus Christ. And again in verses 27 to 30 of Romans chapter 3, there's nothing in this that we can boast about. So how was it done? How did a righteous God make the unrighteous righteous through faith? Well, the last part of verses 24 to 25 tell us. Let's read that together. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And so we see here that Christ redeemed us from the curse and penalty of sin. We were enslaved by our sinful desires. We were guilty before a holy, righteous and just God. And we incurred the eternity of wrath as our right penalty. So Jesus paid the price for our sins and freed us from the curse we were enslaved by. And this is done in his atoning sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life for us. As we spoke about last week, this means that Jesus, who lived a perfectly righteous life, and just have a think about how hard that would be to live a perfectly righteous life. We can often think, oh yeah, it's Jesus, he can do that kind of stuff. It was still hard. He was still tempted. He was still human. And yet, even though he was perfectly righteous, he bore our wrongdoing and unrighteousness. He bore the punishment that we deserved. And just remember, that is something that would have taken an eternity for us to go through. And Jesus bore that on the cross. He died in our place. The resurrection of Jesus shows that all that he did on the cross was achieved. Those who trust in Jesus are therefore forgiven of their sin and they're brought into right relationship with God, which is what we saw and see in these verses. And this is continually declared all throughout the New Testament. So later on in Romans chapter 5 verses 18 to 19, it tells us, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So how is this right? How does this show that a righteous God does a right thing for the unrighteous? Well, in verses 25 through to 26, it tells us that not only is God just in doing these things through Jesus, it is also through Jesus that he demonstrates his righteousness. God demonstrates his right actions, his just actions, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our guilt has been paid for, the sin has been dealt with, and through faith we can have right relationship with God. Now think again about one thing we contribute to all of this. This is all a work of God. And there is an important point to see. If we are declared righteous, the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus, if we are credited righteous, the righteousness that is given to us from God through Christ, then our right relationship is not dependent on our living, but on our faith in Christ. It is his righteousness that God gives us, not our own. And so we trust in God, we trust in Christ, to bring us into right relationship with God. We don't trust in ourselves and our own efforts. So what does this mean for us? Why is this important? Firstly, the pressure to perform is off. Similar again to last week. Our right relationship with God is not dependent on us. It's dependent on Jesus and what he has done. And we need to truly believe this. when we trust in Jesus. As much as we will prefer our right relationship to be based on our own efforts, we see today it's only possible through faith in Christ. It is Christ we continue to look to in faith when we fall in sin. It's Christ we continue to look to in faith when we choose something in this world ahead of God. We look to Christ, ask for forgiveness, and trust in all that he did for us on the cross. The second point is, since we're receiving righteousness through faith and brought into God's family, we're to live as a child of God. We're to live a righteous life. Our faith in Christ to make us righteous is demonstrated to us and to those around us as we live a righteous life. This links to another meaning of righteousness, which is right living according to God's standards. So right relationship with God means right living according to God's right ways. This is what most of the back end of the New Testament letters address. After speaking about who Christians are in Christ, they're then to live as a Christian as they are in Christ. We're to live righteously because we are righteous in Christ. And think about what this means, and think about all that we've spoken about this morning. If the right and true God is telling us that there is a right and true way to live, it must be the best way to live. Is that making sense? If the right and true God is telling us that there is a right and true way to live, it must be the best way to live. Therefore, it is right for us, when we're brought back into right relationship with God, to live in the right way. And we see this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, that is God, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. We're to encourage each other to live righteously. So we do this at church, we do this one-to-one in our meetups with each other, in our home groups, as we read God's word for ourselves, as we pray, as we sing songs together. We proclaim these truths. And it's really important to read God's word and continue to read it, because God's word exposes us for who we really are. Again, if we're not reading God's word, we'll compare ourselves to others. We'll think we're good with God because we haven't killed someone, or again, we bring our own bags to the shopping. With God's word, we actually learn what pleases God. And we have an important verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 about this. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, you know, you have, when you have that strong relationship with someone who you know that they love you, they know you, and they love you. That's the indication of a strong relationship. And when you have this strong relationship of someone who knows you and loves you, good and bad, you're free to love and serve others. What others think of you or their rejection of you is not as harsh or devastating because of the security you have in this loving relationship. You have confidence to approach other people, to love other people, because of this secure relationship. So think about how God has seen the depths of our hearts, has seen our rejection of him, has known out the lives that we would live and the sin we continue to struggle with, and yet he sent his son to deal with our problem, to bring us back to himself. You see, as Christians, we are truly known and yet fully loved. And that frees us to love and care for other people without having to expect it back in return, without having these other motives to love and serve. We have right relationship with the creator of the world, and this should give us confidence and peace and security. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. I love this imagery. It was at a men's convention many weeks ago. and he used this illustration. We often think of God's grace, of God's love, like we're getting teaspoons of it. You know, just little bits of stuff because too much will spoil us. But he's like, it's actually a waterfall pouring out upon us, overflowing in our lives so we can share it with others. this relationship that we brought into, this right relationship with God, we should treasure. This is a relationship worth investing in building time towards, in setting your schedules of your days, of your weeks around this relationship. Because it's the greatest and most important, most rewarding relationship we can ever have. And it needs to be a priority. It came at a great cost. And yet we receive great benefit after benefit through faith in Christ. And so we see why righteousness is so important for our salvation. Through faith in Jesus, not only are believers declared not guilty, they are brought into right relationship with God. And this is the greatest relationship of all time. We get God. And so we joyfully live and pursue this relationship through faith in Christ, with faithful living to God's word. And I can tell you, and I'm sure there is many others in our church who can tell you, that this is the greatest relationship you can ever have. So for everyone here this morning, do you have this relationship? Is this true for you? Is this something that you want to pursue? Or is this something that you've been pushing to the side? Because we can all continue to grow. We can all continue to encourage each other. Because this is the greatest relationship we can ever have. It came at a great cost, but we have a greater Saviour. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, your law that shows us the right way of living. I also thank you so much that it shows us how unrighteous we are. And I thank you that in your goodness, your kindness and grace, you reveal to us your righteousness that comes through faith. And I thank you so much for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who made all of this possible. I just pray that we continue to look to him in our day-to-day lives. I just pray that we'll remember and feel the shackles that we put on ourselves of right performance to be right with you, that they can fall off and we can look to faith in Christ. Help us in this. Help us to encourage one another in this. Help us to build our lives around this. And we thank you so much for your goodness to us in making us righteous through faith. Help us to live in a way that shows that we believe this. And thank you that we can do this together as a community of believers and not in isolation. So we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.